and was exhibiting it there as such. And he said he went to see it because he had heard my grandfather talk about John Wilkes Booth being down here, and said he told this man, whose name was Judge Finest Bates, that Judge Bates said, if you want to find out something about Booth, says you ought to get in touch with Mr. down at Pernoit, Mississippi. Said he stayed at his house. And so Judge Bates called my grandfather up and told him his business, said, I'd like to come down and see you, if I could, talk with you. And he said, well, I'd be glad to see you. My grandfather was living here in this house with us. He'd left from over there and closed up that place. And I was a grown boy. So he told me to go out and meet him. I went out and met him the next afternoon to train, brought him out here, and he spent the night here. And he told his story to Grandpa. Well, Grandpa told his story to him first. And then he picked up the thread there. He said, now that filled in a hiatus in my story. It's a hiatus, it's a missing link in the journey from the time he shot Lincoln until I came in contact with him. And he said, now here's my connection with him. He said, years and years ago, I was boarding at a house in Texas. I was a young lawyer, and said we were in this boarding house. He said there were a lot of people, a good many people, and among them was a young man who was very, I was attracted to very much, and said we were very congenial, and he's educated, and I was too, and said we used to walk together and talk together. And that day and time, nobody asked anybody any questions about who they were or where they come from. They just took them for face value, and said we were very congenial, and said this man apparently had plenty of money, and says in our connection with one another, we got to be very, very warmly associated. And he said he got sick, and he required nursing, and there was nobody nursing but me. And he said in his delirium, very high fever, the doctor all thought he was going to die. And in his delirium, he told me that he was John Wilkes Booth. And he said he didn't die, he got well. And he said when he got well, he got suspicious of me then. He commenced asking me what he talked about while he was delirious. I said, well, you talked about your mother and your first loves and your family. And said, a lot of it jogging to me, and a lot of it I couldn't understand. He said, nothing, just conversation just along ordinary lines. But he wasn't satisfied, and he disappeared. And he said, now that was years ago. And he said, I never heard anything more from him until about 19, well, I don't remember when it was, but it must have been about right around in the teens, early teens, or late teens. I got a telegram from a mortuary in Enid, Oklahoma, that a man by the name of had committed suicide and left a note and some money for you, and would like for you to come and get the body. And he said, well, I did. I went to Enid, Oklahoma right away, and sure enough, that was my old friend. And he was going by the name of St. Helen, and that's the name he'd known him as in Texas. And he said, that was my friend St. Helen. Said they had mummified the body, they had embalmed it, and the poison that he'd taken to kill him, and the good job of embalming had mummified the body. And he said, instead of burying it, said, I decided I'd just exhibit it. He said, I've been exhibiting all over the Southwest. Is the body of John Wilkes Booth, and offering $1,000 reward to anybody who could prove that it wasn't. And said, anybody yet come up with any objection to it? And said, I've got his body in Memphis now. And that's the reason I'm down here, get your story.